Shog, how are you?
I'm doing good today. How are you, buddy?
I'm on fire. Now, I can't remember. Were you in the category of the people who were whining before this tournament? Oh, this is gimmicky. I hate it. Team North America, Team Europe, it's brutal. And now we're like, oh, geez, I can't believe this sucks. Team North America's out. Did you think it was a gimmick pre-tournament?
Yeah, well, first of all, that was a terrible impression of me.
The people that were whining about it.
No, I wouldn't say that I was whining. I think I was worried that it would be a little bit gimmicky and wasn't sure if it would have the same level of intensity just in general at this event. And on that count, I was definitely wrong. The NHL totally caught lightning in a bottle here. It was an electrifying result from an idea that it took some guts to go ahead and put that together. Now, the victim in all of this ends up being the U.S. program because they had players they desperately needed, and they ended up with a team that, and in large part by their own doing, but wasn't as competitive as they would have liked them to be. So I don't know how it looks in future years, how USA Hockey will feel about doing something like this again, but it was a fantastic result from a pretty gutsy decision the NHL made, and full credit to Bettman and his staff for putting this thing together the way they did.
Yeah, I guess the only better outcome would have been had the Finns pulled an upset today, and we could have had that Team Canada-North America matchup. But failing that, Russians and Canadians, that should make for a decent game, no?
Well, that's the funny thing, is that Russia-Canada, Ovechkin-Crosby feels like some sort of consolation prize. That's how well that idea worked, is that everybody so badly wanted to see Canada versus North America. It would have been awesome. And we'll end up having to debate for a long time who would have won that game, who could have won that game. Would the kids have had a chance? To me, they're the second best team in the tournament, really, when you think about it. I don't know. I mean, they beat the Russians if they have Ekblad. I mean, they lost their best defenseman, their heart and soul guy, and one of the best defensemen in the tournament. So, I don't know. I think they would have given Canada a good game and a run for their money. And it is too bad that they're done. Too bad that they lost Ekblad when they did.
Now, how are they the second best team? Or you're saying they would have beat Sweden with Ekblad?
Well, they did beat Sweden, but they would have beat Russia Ekblad. I mean, he was playing the most minutes. He was the stud on the blue line for them. I mean, every team.
Canada's
injuries,
just
right?
Canada's too dominant. I think Canada would just. I think they would basically just cobra snake them to death. Just slowly choke it out of them. They're definitely a fast team for sure, and it would be fun to see it. But I don't think they'd beat Canada.
Well, I mean, and you might be right. They might not be able to beat them, but I think it would have been a heck of a good game, and I think they could have given them a run for their money. And maybe the only team at this tournament that has the ability to really, truly give them a legit run for their money. I mean, they were 40-plus shots every game. Their ability to generate, their energy, their speed. Canada's defense is really, really good, as we all know, and it's in a lot of ways the strength of their team. But they would have had some trouble with the amount of speed that would have been coming at them. There's nothing else in this tournament even close to like that. So, again, we'll be talking about it for a long time because we never get to see it. We don't know what the results would be.
Now, let's discuss the Edmonton Oilers' opening of medicals and training camp today. They'll be on the ice tomorrow. I would expect the remainder of their team, to coaches, management, to arrive back sometime on the weekend, I would think. When you look and you're listening today, Milan Lucic kind of right away making a statement, hey, this team hasn't had an identity for the last few years. We have to have one. And we really kind of got to eliminate that, oh, here we go again attitude. And that you can have all the talent in the world, but losing organizations in hockey and basketball and there's a reason why they stay where they are for, you know, inept management, players who just don't know how to go the extra mile, right? That might be the biggest addition of Lucic, is his willingness to know how to do it, but also to show players and tell them when they're not doing it.
Yeah, and I think having a player like Lucic in the lineup makes everybody, and this is an intangible, some people will feel this is worth nothing in the grand scheme of wins or losses at the end of the year. I disagree.
Yeah,
I think it is worth something. But he's a guy that will make other people play a couple of inches taller and 10, 15 pounds heavier. The way he plays the game, the intensity that he brings to it, the nastiness that he brings to it, when you've got a guy that's going out there and doing those things, it doesn't mean you got to go out and be fighting all the time or turn into Milan Lucic, but if that's the pace he sets, and if he's going to play a lot of minutes this year, which he will, there's a little bit of an expectation level that can be set by setting that example. And a certain type of player will follow that. And that's a really positive thing. The Oilers have had physical players in the past. They have. It's not like they haven't had any. They haven't had any that will play this much and this high in the lineup and be this important to the team.
Exactly.
And that's the difference. It's not a fourth liner that's willing to jump into the trenches and get nasty. Milan Lucic will play a lot of minutes this year, and he'll play a lot of hard minutes, and he'll make people uncomfortable. And there will be other guys in this lineup capable of following him down that path.
Well, the real nugget in there, Ryan, and you touched on it, Milan Lucic doesn't have to say, come on, boys, and play 8 minutes a night. He's going to be a big part of this club. And it's been a while since they had that. Well, you know, when they brought in Ferentz as captain, not his fault, but he wasn't the player he had been in Boston. He couldn't eat up the minutes like he used to. So he can say what he wants. If you can't do it, it's more difficult to be that leader, isn't it?
Well, for sure, yeah, and especially in the role as captain. I mean, when you're given the C and you're the leader of the team, and you can't necessarily do the things that you did within the last few years. You know, I think Andrew, he did what he could, but I mean, look, time caught up with him a little bit, and we understand that, some injuries and stuff. He gave it everything he had. It's a little bit different. I mean, Lucic isn't going to be the captain. I would suspect he'll probably get a letter. But he's not going to be the captain of this team, but he will be in many ways their emotional leader, because he's not going to be okay with 40 minutes of terrible no-hit hockey. I mean, how many times we sat up in that press box, you guys, just looking at each other going, holy smokes. Like, somebody hit somebody at least. If your hands aren't working tonight and if things aren't going your way, fine. Somebody go out and hit somebody, for goodness sakes. That happened a lot over the last few years. That's not going to be the case anymore, because when you get into those lulls, that's where Lucic will be able to all of a sudden become that player, where he can turn the tide in a game just with a couple of physical shifts, and where he can get guys to follow him down that path. And they haven't had that type of guy that plays any kind of meaningful minutes in a long, long time.
Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us for Rashog Report, brought to you by Auto City Edmonton. Jason Greger, Robin Brownlee with you. And, you know, it's interesting about the Oilers, and, you know, Jordan Eberle talked about it today. Clearly these players have all looked at the schedule, which they should. They're well aware of what's ahead of them this season. Good start was mentioned again by numerous players that I spoke to today. And in a fashion where, you know, they truly understand it. Like, you can say good start, but then there's – and a good start isn't 5-4. Right, like a good start for this team's got to be 6-3 and maybe 6-2-1 or something like that, because of how road heavy November through until the end of February is for them. You mentioned the captaincy for McDavid, and I think most people would agree that he would get it. I want to ask about the right wing spot. Jesse Puljujarvi last night wowed people again down at the Claire Drake Arena. And you see Christopher Stieg in as a veteran player. And I know Todd McClellan, after last year, talking often about just the need for experience. Do you think it comes down to Puljujarvi or Yakupov on the one of the right wing openings, with Cassian and Eberle at the top and Verstig with the veteran?
I don't think it comes down to Puljujarvi or Yakupov. I think it'll be Puljujarvi. I think that I think it'll be him. I think he's from what he's shown so far, he just continues to perform and perform and perform, and I don't expect him to take a step back. So I think it'll be him. Now, I want to get down there and get eyes on him, watch him against NHL defensemen, watch him in a number of different ways. But if you look at what he's accomplished to this point in camp, where he was drafted, what it looks like he's going to be able to accomplish, I just don't know that there's going to be much of a competition there. The thing with Yakupov is they haven't been willing to trade him for nothing, which is basically, from what it sounds like, the caliber of offers they've been getting. So they think, well, we'll just hang on to him rather than trade him away for nothing. That doesn't mean he's going to be handed the second-line right-wing spot just because they haven't been willing to trade him for a fourth-round pick yet. Puljujarvi is going to get every opportunity. Eberle will be The first right winger, Puljujarvi, will get every look possible as the second line right winger. Versteeg is there as a nice complement to Cassian in the 3-4 spot. They'll probably trade spots here and there. Yakupov will get some opportunity here, but I just think when the opportunity comes, they'll move on from now, and then it'll be pretty clear. I don't think they're gonna. I don't think there's going to be much question about who it is, Yak or Puljujarvi.
Yeah, I'm with you, Ryan. I mean, I don't see a spot unless Jesse is, you know, suddenly becomes overwhelmed, and there's no indication of that. The addition of Versteeg, I didn't see a whole heck of a lot of lack of depth on the right wing even before Versteeg. I didn't think it was necessarily set, but Pakarinen was in that mix. Cassian can play third line easy, and he can play fourth if that's what you want. And some special teams. Yakupov is not going to sit on the fourth line with Igor Larionov doing anything but bugging the GM on the phone all the time. There's no place for Yakupov to play unless I'm really missing something here.
No, and I think that what Versteeg will potentially do here, so if Chris Versteeg comes in and he looks good, and they find a spot for him to play, and he's developing some chemistry, and he's doing all the things as a veteran player and a smart player, a good guy in the dressing room. If he does all of those things, you add that to the addition of Puljujarvi, and what that will allow the Oilers to do is to, in good conscience, turn the page on Yakupov without much of a return. They've been loath to do that to this point, and they're not even the ones that drafted him, but it's just hard to wrap your head around trading a first overall pick for basically next to nothing. And they haven't been able to put themselves in that headspace where that makes sense yet. Well, how do you do that? By backfilling. And so now you've got Puljujarvi, who they happen to luck out and land at the draft. You've got Versteeg, who has some experience, and if he pans out, you've got Cassian. If he comes in and is in shape and is good to go and his head's in the right place, he can easily, like you say, Robin, he can be a really good fourth-line right winger. He can be a decent third-line right winger. Now you can move on from Neil Yakupov in good conscience, knowing they've done their due diligence and they've backfilled properly. To this point, they haven't been comfortable doing that because they just looked over to that right side and didn't see the depth they wanted to see.
The right side is really where a lot of the question marks are, right? Right wing and then, of course, on right defense. Sekera Davidson, would that be your second pair to start if you were putting it on paper right now? Would that be your second pair, or do you have Fane with Sekera?
Yeah. I think, see, this is tough because I think if you're going to play Sekera on the right and Davidson on the left, then I think you're okay going with them as your second unit. And then I think you're fine going Nurse and Fane as your third unit, Nurse, Griba, whatever it looks like. We'll see where Reinhardt measures out, but I don't know whether he'll be in the mix or not. But you have to assume Darnell Nurse will be a mainstay on that third pairing. In an ideal world, and we've discussed this before, in an ideal world, by Christmas time, Darnell Nurse is beating down the door on second pairing minutes. That would be in an ideal world for the Oilers, where you've got this guy that they can't get enough ice time to because he's improving so much. And I think they're hoping for that. I don't know if they're expecting it. But I would start with, if it's Sekera on the right side and Davidson on the left, then I'd be more comfortable doing that than flip-flopping that and expecting Davidson to play second pairing on the right side.
You know, it's interesting, Ryan. We spent years on this show. We've talked about too much of the same thing, and it was in the context of the smaller, skilled forward. And you probably can't win with too much of any one thing unless it's cloning Connor McDavid. But now, and having size and grit that can play, third pairing guys, fourth liners, yeah, it's nice to have them in the room, but they don't have an effect. Now you look at Lucic, Maroon, Cassian, Pouliot gets in some guys' faces a little bit. This team has diametrically changed under Pete Chiarelli, sort of in that Boston mold, for lack of a better term.
Right. Now, they only want to go so far with it, though, I think, or they should only go so far with this.
Right.
You only want to swap out Taylor Hall for Milan Lucic so many times, right? That's not something that you want to do from a speed standpoint in your lineup. I think and I'm not saying everybody's rushing to be the Pittsburgh Penguins now because that type of team won the Cup, but I don't think that the giant team that's going to lean on everybody is necessarily the recipe for success without question. Now, survival during an 82-game regular season, the type of team you need to survive and make the playoffs versus the type of team you need to win in the playoffs and have a chance at a Stanley Cup, it might kind of be two different types of teams. You probably need a bigger, heavier, tougher team to play against to get you through an 82-game schedule and on the right side of the top eight. But that might not be the team that can necessarily win you the Cup. So it's a hybrid. And the Oilers, I think the Oilers have a nice mix of speed and size in their lineup right now, because some of their size has speed. Benoit Pouliot is a pretty big kid, and he can skate, right? Puljujarvi is a big kid, and he can skate.
Yeah.
There's no lack of speed. This is not a lumbering team. Even Cassian, for a big guy, is a fantastic skater. So they're not sacrificing. I mean, in the case of Lucic and Maroon, that's where you're doing it. But Lucic has gotten around just fine for a number of years in this league. Maroon showed he's still got some left. So as long as you're not overdoing it on that front, you're okay. And where the Oilers are now in the mix, I think they're okay.
Schager, look forward to the start of the regular season. Well, preseason first, I guess, on Monday. Players get on the ice tomorrow. And really, the unfortunate part is training camp will really be boring because there'll be no line combinations because all three centers won't be on the ice for a day or two.
I know, yeah, that's the thing. That's what we always love to show up and see on day one is who's playing with who and what does it look like. But we'll have to wait a couple of days for that, I'm sure. But it'll come soon enough, and Lord knows they have enough exhibition games for us to pine over for weeks and weeks.
Schager, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, man. See ya.